I'm Dorothy Wickenden. On today's Politics and More podcast, The New Yorker's Joshua Rothman talks to the pastor Carolyn Gillette. Gillette is a writer of hymns and is best known for her sacred music responding to current events, including national tragedies.
That's a brand new hymn called To a Place of Celebration. It was written in response to the mass shooting in Orlando just days after we woke up to the news of that tragedy. And it was performed here last Sunday by the Rutgers Presbyterian Church in Manhattan. Now, the tune is an old one, and the words, though, are by Carolyn Gillette. She's the pastor of Limestone Presbyterian Church in Wilmington, Delaware. Carolyn is prolific. She's written about 250 hymns that have been sung in churches all around the world. She's carved out a particular niche talking about current events right as they happen, sometimes mass killings and disasters that I think would test the faith of any believer. The New Yorker's Josh Rothman visited Carolyn Gillette with her husband and co-pastor Bruce Gillette at their church not long ago.
So I was thinking maybe you could tell us the story of how you came to write hymns. How did you get started?
Back in 1998, I was at a conference in central Pennsylvania. And the teacher in the class was talking about psalms that had been set to music. And in the course of this class, he started talking about a time when the Ten Commandments had been set to a popular hymn tune. So I started doodling a little bit and wrote my own version of it. And after I wrote it, Bruce thought, that looks pretty good, and he shared it with some people online, and one pastor asked if she could use it at the Vacation Bible School for their church the next week. And they had the children singing at Vacation Bible School. And that got me started.
Since then, Carolyn has written hundreds of hymns on an incredibly diverse array of subjects. And if you go to her website, you'll find hymns about adoption, climate change, homelessness, gay rights, even the joys of going to the beach. She's using melodies from traditional hymns, but she's rewriting the words to address today's world. And so that means that the hymns are easy to sing, they're familiar, but they're also now addressing current events, and they're not always uplifting. A lot of times they're expressing complex emotions, sadness, frustration, grief, fear, anxiety about the future. She's really trying to bring the real world into church.
Well, a lot of the songs that we sing in church are praise worship songs. We're praising God, glorifying God for who God is. We're thanking God, praising God. One interesting thing about a lot of music that's written today is that it's written to be very positive and upbeat and full of praise, and that's great, and we need to praise God in that way. But I think there's also a place in the church for lament, for singing those songs of sadness, the grief that comes from the depths of our hearts, about things that make us very sad when we look around and see all the violence and the injustice around us. I think a lot of the hymns that people have responded to that I've written have been hymns that are prayers for people who have been in disasters and in catastrophes. And it's to the point that sometimes people know me by those hymns, and they say, ah, you're the one who writes the songs about disasters. You always have a great song for a disaster.
I got to know Carolyn Gillette when I sung one of her hymns at a church service. I was fascinated by it because it's a new hymn, and you don't often sing hymns with new words. And eventually I learned from talking to experts that Carolyn Gillette is one of the leading hymnodists working today.
Like, what's the process for writing a hymn? What's the first step that you take?
Give me a kind of hymn. Which kind are you talking about?
Like, when you wrote, so we read the hymn about refugees, for example, that you wrote.
One of several.
God, how can we comprehend, I think, is the one line.
Yeah, God, how can we comprehend? That one I started writing when I was watching the news. You know those news clips they have where they just show lines and lines of refugees walking through desert places carrying their belongings on their backs. I thought about how numb we get to those pictures sometimes. We see them, but we don't really comprehend them. We don't really understand at all what those folks are experiencing in their lives.
Now they struggle to survive.
You gave each one gifts and goals. Now they flee to stay alive. We heard in seminary that when you're writing a sermon, you should write a sermon with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. And I think it makes sense for hymn writing too, because it's good for people to be able to connect what's going on in the world with their faith.
May we reach to all your earth till each person lives in peace. Till your world sees each one's worth.
I have to say that for me, there's something just tremendously moving about hearing contemporary subjects addressed through a form that's so old. It seems to be making a statement about the world, that there's a continuity between the ancient past, hundreds of years of religious tradition, and the problems that we're facing today.
The issues that we're dealing with are just modern versions of what people have been dealing with for a long time. You know, love, justice, welcome, reaching out and caring for others, forgiveness. With the old hymn tunes, I can put new words and help people see that there is a connection between the old and the new.
Could you tell the story of the 9/11 hymn and how you wrote that and how it got performed?
On the morning of 9/11, we were watching the newscasts with everybody else. Somebody called up from the church office and said, you know, a plane had flown into one of the World Trade Center towers. And we turned on the news like everybody else, and we were just staring at this, watching the news for a long time, just trying to figure out what was going on. And we pretty quickly decided that we were going to have a worship service at church that night for people from the congregation, people from the community who just needed to come and to pray and to be together. And Bruce suggested I write a hymn for that worship service. And so during the day, between the time in the morning when we were first seeing what was happening, and that evening when we had the worship service, I wrote the hymn. And I remember writing part of it as I was walking to our children's elementary school. I had a pad and pad of paper and a pen in my hand, and I was walking to their school and scribbling notes along the way, trying to get the verses of the hymn just right.
May they amid such great despair be wise in all they do.
Somebody else wrote me a note, and this was even, I think, a couple months later, and said, I've been so depressed and so upset since 9/11. And I sang your hymn in church, and I took that bulletin home. I put it in my purse, and I've been carrying it around. And whenever I get really anxious or really upset about everything that's been happening in our world, I just pull out the words of your hymn.
We grieve for all who lost their lives and for each injured one. We pray for children, husbands, wives, whose grief has just begun.
This hymn was performed everywhere, in churches around the country, at funerals for victims and firefighters. It even appeared on the BBC. And that's just an extraordinary fact when you visit Bruce and Carolyn at their church in Delaware, because they are ordinary working pastors. Actually, hymn writing is just a small part of what Carolyn does. She spends the rest of her time doing what pastors do. She runs a food bank. She teaches Bible study. The day I was there, she spent the morning visiting with an elderly member of the congregation who had fallen during the night.
I mean, do you have to get into some space in your mind to write these hymns, or do you live in this space of openness about feelings and closeness to your responses? And
I think a lot of times I live in this space. I write what I think and what I feel, and I'm a pastor. And as a pastor, I'm used to thinking about things on an intellectual level, but also an emotional level, hearing the feelings of others. I think I'm trying to find a way to help people express what's going on deepest inside them. I think I'm a poet. I love to write words. and I love to help people find words to sing in church.
Now, of course, people don't just want to express feelings of sadness in church. They want to express feelings of hope, and a lot of Carolyn's hymns are hopeful. Many of them are what are called prophetic hymns. They're calls for action. So she's written a hymn about voting, for example. It's called In Times of Great Decision.
In times of great decision, be with us, God, we pray. Give each of us a vision of Jesus' loving way. When louder words seem endless and other voices sure, remind us of your promise, your love and truth endure. Oh God, whose gates are
I didn't write this saying, you know, vote for a certain candidate because of our faith. But God gives us a vision of the way we should live in this world. And these are basic principles of faith that many faith traditions have. Love, charity, loving your neighbor, welcoming the stranger, showing compassion, working for justice, working for peace. These are things that we're called to do as faithful people in the world. And if we're called to live that way, we should be willing to choose leaders who have that same vision.
After the shootings in Orlando, I attended a church service where we sang the hymn that Carolyn had written about what had happened there. Like a lot of people, I had spent the days after the shooting reading about it, thinking about it, talking with friends and family about gun control and gun violence. And I felt, you know, angry about what had happened, sad, obviously. But also, if I'm honest, I was a little cynical, too, about the real possibility that anything could change. Carolyn's hymn echoes a lot of what's in the newspaper. For example, it talks about how we have to pass new legislation to make guns harder to buy. But it has something more to it than that. There's a line toward the end where, as you're singing, you ask God to renew your dedication to the idea of a world that's just and whole. It's hard to be cynical when you're singing those words with a big group of people, 40 or 50 people, who are expressing the same sentiment. And I found that basically singing the hymn made me hopeful again about the possibility that things could be better.
That was Joshua Rothman talking with Carolyn Gillette.